Welcome back to Layman's Terms. We're finishing up our series on how can I help, and we're looking at how can we help others in need today. And we're going to do a little scripture reading, a little Matthew 25, 31 through 40.
All right, well, let's do it. The final judgment, Matthew 25, verse 31. Here we go. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit upon his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered in his presence, and he will separate the people. As a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, he will place the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me into your home. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you cared for me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then these righteous ones will reply, "Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will say, "I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me."
There you go. So,
what do you think about that, Keith?
Yeah, so we were kind of having a little bit of a conversation off the air that I thought maybe we could dive into first, which is, you know, you had a good question, which is like, is this verse how you get to some of the kind of universalist thought process of, you know, from the scripture,
the theological
thing of like, hey, you don't actually need to be baptized and do this and do that. You just really have to help people. And that's really what Jesus is telling you to do. And you'll be separated and get the...
It's a way I've never... You know, this is the first time for me looking at this scripture through the lens of this separation and talking with all peoples and then separating into groups and accounting one group righteous for their deeds.
Yeah, for their deeds alone. Well, here's what I'll start with it, right? Is
and I know that
we're not talking about the motive of the deed, right? Like there's no motive behind it here. It's not that people did this.
Correct. They were unknowing.
They were unknowing.
That's the important part there in the later verses. When? Mm-hmm. When did I ever do this?
It's not like they saw this king.
So
in
then
need,
you go. Then you right? go. Well, then you go back to Jesus' commands, right? Mm-hmm. Love God. Love your neighbor. Love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and then love your neighbor as yourself. So if you go back to the greatest commands, mm-hmm. right? Well, this is just...
It lines up with
this
it.
This is just lining up with that and unpacking mm-hmm. it. So really, and doing it without any quid pro quo.
Right.
Right? So when you take that lens to it, it makes more sense. It's like, okay, so they... There's the separation. These are accounted righteous because they were putting into practice loving their neighbor mm-hmm. and in turn loving God.
Yeah.
So then they actually are unknowingly following the top two commands Jesus gave them.
Yeah. And I would argue that the world teaches you to look out for yourself. The world teaches you to make as much money as you can so that you can buy stuff and have a great life. The world doesn't teach you to be altruistic with that. It teaches you to be selfish and about yourself. And so by the act of helping someone, seeing them in need of food and giving them food, the act of seeing them needing clothes and giving them clothes, or the act of just visiting someone in prison, is very altruistic and very against what the world teaches us to do.
Yeah.
And so, and therefore, I would say by doing that, to your point, you're living into Jesus' greatest two commandments. And by extension,
you're embodying love. You're becoming love.
Yeah.
Not for reciprocity, but for the sake of the person you're showing that love and generosity to.
Yes. And I would say that lives into, from a Methodist perspective, lives into the Wesleyan idea of loving God with all of your heart and doing no harm, right? And mm-hmm. I think as part of that, doing no harm is also doing good, right? Doing good works.
And that's, yeah, that's that other part. Do all the good you can in all the places you can, to all the people you can, for as long as you can.
Yeah.
So much ever, something.
Yeah.
It's much more elegantly worded
than what we
than
can,
what I can
resuscitate.
Poorly quote. poor misquotes by Mitch and Keith.
And so I think that it makes sense. I think to your point, off the air, what we were talking about is, like, I think some people can misconstrue this verse and say, oh, well, I helped this one guy once, so I'm going to heaven. Right? You know? And I think some of that is your intention that matters too. Are you doing the act because you want to go to heaven? Or are you doing the act because you recognize the need and your will is aligning with what God wants you to do? And so you're just doing it almost naturally out of love for that other person, right? So I really think some of the intentionality also matters within the actions. In this verse, though, how do you feel about the idea of serving others is almost like serving Jesus himself? How does that change your perspective in really helping those that are in need?
I think how I process that is I baseline everybody back to intrinsic worth, and it helps reinforce that we were all created and loved and have worth and value. Therefore, everyone needs treated with the respect of someone who's been created and is loved and has mm-hmm. a worth and a value.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, by saying assigning the greatest worth and value to Jesus, and then saying then Jesus says, anyone else you treat with love and respect, you were treating me with love and respect by doing that, it baselines mm-hmm. everything. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. I almost sometimes, the way that it changes my perspective a little bit is there's two really kinds of people in need, right? The people that we know and the people we don't know, okay? And the people we don't know could be the guy on the side of the street, the GoFundMe that pops up on our feed from somebody that we know somebody, right? There's that kind of need. And I think what we are trying to really narrow down in this conversation is the people that we know that are in need, right? So your direct neighbor, a friend, a family member, someone that you have a direct relationship with, right? And so I think the view on this is, well, when you're going to help them, you know them, so you're helping them out. You know what I mean? You have that direct mm-hmm. connection with it. And I'm not necessarily thinking in my brain, this is what Jesus would want me to do. It would be as if I were helping him.
Okay.
Right? Because I see you. I've got the personal connection with you. And so I'm helping you in this. And so it does give you a little perspective shift a little bit, because in your, with what you just said, in terms of I'm placing worth on my help because I place worth in our relationship. Mm-hmm. But maybe, as I've heard said before, sometimes it's not the easy people, the people that we like, that we help, that's easy. It's the people that maybe we know and have a relationship with and we don't get along with. That's the hard people to help, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And so I see in that moment where you've got this person that's in your orbit that you know that's kind of a pain to you, that you like, you just don't want to help them. But then you realize by helping them, you're really helping. You're also doing what you're called to do. You're doing what you're called to do.
Which is serve.
I think that's the difference between the two.
And I think when you're talking worldly, animalistic instincts, I was listening to a great podcast, but it was anthropologically speaking, our friendship motives, subconscious friendship motives, and our circles of people we surround ourselves with, and it takes us far less energy to invest in relationships that could be reciprocal. Now, we're not thinking about that. Mm. That's not necessarily front of mind, right? Sure. Like, I'm doing everything I can to get ahead and only, you know, prioritizing relationships that
advance
that
my,
have dividends,
yeah, right?
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But subconsciously, animalistically speaking, that's our human nature, is to lean that way.
Sure. Make friends with the alpha.
Yeah.
In whatever circle.
Whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
Closest to the top, strongest. So we do have, Jesus is calling us to fight against a natural tendency to ignore the weak.
Yeah.
Ignore the, right? Like,
yeah, for sure.
Like, you know, in Jesus' context, what benefit, what emotional or social, economical worth or value in advancement could someone imprisoned have for you?
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
In that context, none. Now, today, I don't know, that may be completely different, right? I've seen some mobster movies, right?
Sure.
Like,
sure. No, but I think you make a point, which is there are, you know, looking at the people that we can help that doesn't do anything for, it doesn't advance your standing or stature in any way, shape, or form, right? And that's why I also, when I potentially help someone out in a situation too, I try to, and this is just a personal thing, but I also try not to like make a big deal about it, right? Because I don't want the altruism act. I don't want the praise and the heap, and because then that's really the reason that I did it, right? And so it sometimes,
it's like when I replaced my grandmother's microwave.
Yeah.
Right. Well, she needed a new microwave. Well, mm-hmm. I brought the receipt, but she was going to reimburse the microwave. Of course.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
But then she tries to pay me for the
installation.
For the installation. No, that's not the point.
Yeah.
I'm doing it for you.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And that's your point, is it's a gift. Receive it.
Receive it. And I think sometimes, what I don't, and maybe this is controversial, maybe we can have a whole argument about this.
Oh, I like controversial stuff.
But sometimes I hear this kind of phraseology, which is to if somebody is helping me, allow them to help me, because if I don't, I'm robbing them of the joy of
their generosity.
Of their generosity, okay?
That's not controversial. I'm on board with that.
I'm not on board with that.
You're not on board with
that?
I'm
not on board with that. And I think what Jesus is calling us to do is to...
So I should have graciously and humbly accepted
Grammy's financial
gift for the microwave installation.
No, what I'm saying is that I almost feel bad if the reason that I'm helping someone is to feel good.
Oh.
Because then that's the reason I'm helping them.
Mm. The endorphin rush of being a good boy?
Exactly. Exactly. And so I think in some cases... This is the controversial statement. Jesus is calling us to help even when it may hurt or not. You don't feel joy out of it,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's just a more narrow, less mature Christian thought, right? Because, you know, obviously we're supposed to take joy in the things that God wants us to take joy in, like both of our, you know, happiness or joy should be similar. But I also think that if you're only doing good deeds to feel the joy of doing the good deeds, well, then that's your reason that you're doing them.
That's the fix you're getting.
Correct. And so I think that sometimes we can get trapped in the cycle of feeling good about ourselves and not realizing why we're doing it, right? And I think that this is controversial point number two. I think if you're going to church to hear a good message to feel good about yourself when you leave, that could also be the same problem, that you're just doing it to feel good about yourself. What do you think?
Yeah, I think there's all sorts of layers to that, and I also think it's all internal, personal, you know, between you and Jesus,
yeah.
If to use a phrase, because our other job is to not, along with this, our job is to not speculate on the internal motives of others.
Of others.
Right?
Sure.
So I think it's good to be introspective and process your internal motives. Not healthy or helpful to try to do that to other.
I would never look at you and say, oh, Mitch just did that to feel good about himself.
Yeah.
Right? You know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't do that to yourself, to you. I'm just saying, like, be cautious about in this process, because we've talked about a lot of helping people, right? And I think that for me, motives sometimes matter too in some of this, right? As part of that, really, really setting yourself some boundaries in why and how you're helping people too, right? Because you can get carried away with that feeling, that endorphin rush, or helping, and the next thing you know, you're enabling, right? And so I think that you've got to be a little introspective about, okay, what is mine to do, what is theirs to do in this situation. Yeah.
It'd be like if you have a youngster that, you know, if you tied his shoes for him, you would be helping him.
Yeah.
If you did that until he's 18 and graduates high school and leaves, that's a problem.
That's a problem.
You've not, yeah. That you actually weren't helping.
Correct. Correct.
And you felt good because you were able to provide, provide a helpful service, but you weren't setting someone up for success. Right. You were setting them up for failure.
Right.
Creating dependency.
And that's my point, is you've got to be careful about your motives, because in the end, you could not end up helping that person or really yourself in the situation as well.
Yeah, because you're investing. Yeah, because you're investing time that unnecessarily.
Correct.
The time investing should have been teaching them to fish, not
giving them
providing
fish.
Them with a fish.
Unless you have masses, and you only have a couple loaves of bread and five fish.
That's true. But if they all would have went fishing.
I completely agree. Say, that's pretty much the time that we have.
That's where we're going to wrap it.
We're going to wrap it today. I think we've had a really good series. And we're going to do a new series starting next week.
Oh.
We're going to go through Luke and really look at some of the funky parts of Luke every week, you know? So if you guys want to join along, just start reading some of Luke. And then every week we're going to take a look at a section of it that maybe didn't quite make a lot of sense to us or whatever. And then we'll have a discussion about it.
Wonderful. Sounds good.
All right. We'll see you then.
Yeah. Later.